Welcome to the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. I'm a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, also a father of five. Danny Craig in studio with me, father of two. And today we're going to talk about the church. And my heart is for the church around the world. Danny, sometimes I wonder if persecution is the only thing that will grow the church in this country or anywhere else around the world. There is such a lack of life. There is such a compromise and synthesis with the world that goes on in our churches today. I just have a passion to see the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ grow and be fruitful and become full of faith and courage and hope and love. You know, these are the things we want to see in the church. And yet we live in a time in which the Western church is in a full-scale downgrade. Things are going downhill very, very fast. But a decent persecution could arrest that.
Could change it all really quickly.
I'm not calling for a persecution, but I am calling for the Holy Spirit of God to awaken our churches in America today. But China, let's take a look at China, the fastest growing church in the world right now. And of course, the dragon's tail is going to flick a little. The strong man doesn't like his house robbed. A stronger man is robbing his house. That's the parable Jesus gave us. The strong man does not appreciate his house being robbed. And there are more Christians in China now, I hear, than members of the Communist Party. And I don't think the Communist Party is all that thrilled about it.
I'm sure they don't.
And Christians are definitely up in the radar at this point. Now, I want to give the example of the Early Rain Covenant Church, which I think at this point probably needs to be right at the center of the radar of every single Christian in the world today.
Mm-hmm. I'm really
because the dragon himself has put his crosshairs on the Early Rain Church in China. This one stands out beyond, I think, almost any persecution going on in the world right now upon the Church of Jesus Christ. The communist persecutions of the Early Rain Covenant Church in China are descending into the inhumane, the barbaric, and the diabolical. And that's the line we used for the worldview in 5 minutes. We address the persecutions around the world each day, almost every day, as part of the worldview in 5 minutes, because the worldview in 5 minutes is taken from a Christian perspective in which we prioritize the news issues that would be of concern to the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost. That's the question we ask when we lay out the script each day for the worldview in 5 minutes. It's a completely different take on the news from what you get at Fox News and almost anywhere else. It is to look at the priority issues, the screaming issues that need to be screaming off the headlines of the Christian news on any given day. Friends, it's what's going on in the Early Rain Covenant Church that really matters. Already, of course, Pastor Wang Yi himself has been arrested. The pastor of Early Rain Church, Wang Yi, a courageous man of God, a great preacher of God's word, and he's been arrested. He's disappeared. Nobody knows if he's dead or alive.
Yeah, he was arrested on December 9th, and more than 100 members of his church as well. And this raid was probably triggered by a 7,300-word manifesto that he wrote titled Meditations on the Religious War, in which he condemns China's Communist Party and urges Christians to perform acts of civil disobedience. And shortly before this, he had apparently written a letter it's published here on CBN News, and he had instructed his congregants, he had given it to his congregants and instructed them to publish it if he was detained for more than 48 hours. And boy, man, just reading through this, I'm going to share a few quotes, but I'm saddened, but I'm grateful for the testimony of this man's faith.
Yes, he's a man of strong, strong faith. This is a testimony to every church in America.
This is what we need to hear.
That's right.
Here in America.
That's right. Go for it, Danny.
Yeah. So he says this, as a pastor, my belief in the gospel, my firm belief in the gospel, my teaching and my rebuking of all evil proceeds from Christ's command in the gospel and the unfathomable love of the glorious King. Every man's life is extremely short, and God fervently commands the church to lead and call any man to repentance who is willing to repent. Now, just park there for a moment. So it's one thing to maybe get nervous about asking the checkout clerk at Safeway to repent. But calling the government officials in China to repent is a great act of faith and boldness. And that's what he's done here because of the unfathomable love of Jesus.
And I played a video of him preaching before our church several weeks ago. You saw it.
Yeah.
He was preaching, and he was calling the premier of China to repent before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yeah.
He goes on to say, Christ is eager and willing to forgive all who turn from their sins. This is the goal of all the efforts of the church in China, to testify to the world about our Christ, to testify to the Middle Kingdom about the Kingdom of Heaven, to testify to earthly momentary lives about heavenly eternal life. This is also the pastoral calling that I have received.
Well, Pastor Wang Yi was arrested, as was mentioned. Also, now, Danny, 300. You said 100. No, it's now 300 church members have been arrested thus far, and the police have pressured the employers of 10 believers to fire them from their jobs. 9 Christians of the 300 have been beaten by police officers, including a nursing mother who was beaten for 12 hours in a police station as she was holding her nursing baby. Phenomenal. This is diabolical. This is demonic. This is the most inhumane thing going on in the world today. And I think the President of the United States needs to say something about this.
Yeah. Well, he speaks to us as believers here. He says, if believers in Jesus do no wrong, then they should not be afraid of dark powers.
Amen.
Amen. Even though I am often weak, I firmly believe this is the promise of the gospel. It is what I have devoted all of my life and energy to. It is the good news that I am spreading throughout Chinese society. And I think that speaks to me personally, because as I hear about these persecutions, where my mind goes first is, oh, what if that were to happen to me and my family?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what he's assuring us, if believers in Jesus do no wrong, then they should not be afraid of dark powers. These words of this pastor should not be ominous to us. They should inspire the greatest of faith and courage in us.
Amen. Amen. And what we see here is a manifesto of faith, real faith. You know, if you believed that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, Jesus Christ has released us from the power of Satan and the world and sin. If you believe that Jesus Christ was King of Kings and Lord of Lords over the Premier of China and all of the darkest powers of the universe, if you believe that, then what would you say? How would you preach? What kind of manifesto would you write?
Here's what I would say. He goes on to say, separate me from my wife and children, ruin my reputation, destroy my life and my family. The authorities are capable of doing all of these things. However, no one in this world can force me to renounce my faith. No one can make me change my life. And here's what he says. And no one can raise me from the dead. Except Jesus.
But Jesus. Pastor Wang Yi, words of faith. Oh, man, let that sink in for just a moment. We'll be back in just a moment. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims at the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you, discussing the most severe persecution going on in the world today. And 300 Christian churchgoers out of a single church in China arrested thus far. Pastor Wang Yi has disappeared. And his 74-year-old mother was violently beaten by a police officer, ID 075557, several weeks ago. On top of that, a nursing mother beaten for 12 hours as she was holding her nursing child. Friends, this is serious. This is really serious. We haven't seen anything this bad for a very long time. This is probably the worst persecution I've seen from China since the 1980s, 1990s. And now, what is our response? I think this needs to affect foreign policy. This needs to affect the president of the United States and his policy towards China. But what do we do? That's the question here, Danny. What do we do as Christians as we respond to these very severe forms of persecution? Hebrews 13, verse 3 reminds us, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body. That is, you've got to feel the pain of this. We need to feel the pain of this. This is the body of Christ. You know, the arm is going to feel the pain that the foot is feeling. And friends, we need to remember those that are in bonds, which means we need to pray for them. We need to keep them in our minds. One prayer that I prayed for Wang Yi is that one morning I woke up and I prayed, God, I pray that I will have a good day today, but I pray that Wang Yi would have a better day than I am going to have today. That was my prayer several weeks ago. Hebrews 3:13-3 tells us to remember those that are in bonds. Also at Matthew 25, verse 31, Jesus takes this kind of stuff very personally.
Yeah.
Jesus takes this personally. What are the issues that are discussed on Judgment Day? And, you know, Judgment Day, an important time in the life of any individual because, of course, this is the moment at which eternity is in the very balance. So Matthew 25, the parable of the sheep and the goats, really, really critical, friends. So if you're concerned about the issue to be brought up on Judgment Day, you know, he's not going to be discussing how much water you used in the baptism. There are some things that are not going to be of essence on that day. But what is the thing that Jesus really is most concerned about on Judgment Day? What is it? Are you curious about that? Yeah, I think we're all curious because it's appointed for once for men to die and then after that to judgment. Well, Matthew 25:31, the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them from one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And the king shall say unto those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we you a stranger and took you in, naked and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brothers, you have done it unto me. And then the goats, same conversation, except they didn't do it unto one of the least of his brothers. They didn't do it to him. And then to them, he says, they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, this, first of all, is not a merit passage. I think we need to say that from the outset. The Bible doesn't teach an earn your salvation sort of message. In other words, we don't go out there and feed X number of people and visit X number of people in prison and thereby earn God's acceptance. This isn't anything to do with justification. This isn't anything to do with our earning our right standing with God, friends. This is all about whether we really were the children of God. This is really our identity. This is a question of identity. This is a question of whether we really belonged in the family of God, whether we loved the Lord and loved his people. And part of loving his people is recognizing them. You know, recognizing that these are the people of God. The goats, they didn't realize they had neglected the least of his brothers. Why? Because they didn't even recognize his brothers. They weren't members of his family. They weren't members of the body of Christ. And so, of course, they didn't recognize Jesus' brothers. And, of course, they ignored him. Of course, they ignored the Wang Yis. Of course, they ignored the Richard Wurmbrands. You know, we have to be careful not to be first of all, denominational, that such that we neglect our brothers and sisters who happen to be members of the family of God, but don't happen to be a member of our own denomination. Turns out this brother, Wang Yi, and the 300 members of this church are a part of a Reformed Presbyterian denomination, sort of a denomination. They don't have denominations as we do. They kind of have a little covenant denomination. And, you know, it's an accountability group in that part of China. That's what it is. But you know what? Denomination needs to fade to the background. When we begin to help the people of God who are in prison in various places around the world. Friends, we have to be careful not to be denominational. We don't recognize the people of God by denomination. We recognize them as brothers because they're brothers of Jesus. That's why. Because they do the will of the Father. Now, we should have a heart for those in prison. True Christians will have a heart for those in prison. This will be the centerpiece of the Christian life. Now, note, it doesn't say that we visit just about anybody in prison. No, it doesn't say that at all. It doesn't say those who had a prison ministry to preach the gospel. And that's important. Yes, that is important. We do that. Those gifted to evangelize in prisons need to be doing that. You've been in prisons. I've been in prisons. Other members of our church engage in prison ministry. That's not what it's talking about. This is not prison ministry. These are the people of God being persecuted for their faith as those who are the brothers of Jesus. You know, you ask the question, who are the brothers of Jesus? The Christian is focused first and foremost upon helping the widows and orphans, the pastors and brothers within the church itself, do good to those who are part of the household of God, first and foremost. The Christians in prison, those who are suffering for their faith, these are the brothers of Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 12:48. He answered and said to the one who told him, who is my brother and who is my mother, he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So again, who is it that constitutes our brothers? It is the one who does the will of the Father. It's the one who loves God passionately and keeps his commandments. Much like what we see in the testimony from the heart of Wang Yi in that letter, you can sense there's a guy who loves God with his heart, soul, mind, and strength, loves the commission of God to preach the gospel to every nation, and he's going to do it come hell or high water. He's going to press through and obey the will of the Father. These are those who refuse to bow the knee to the state and turn their children over to state indoctrination. They'd rather raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and they will be persecuted for this. These are the ones that evangelize on the streets and risk imprisonment. They do the will of the Father. They obey God rather than men. These are the people that are being persecuted. These are the brothers of Christ. Help them. That's what Jesus says. Help them. If you have an ounce of love for Jesus or an ounce of love for his brothers, you go visit them. You go help them in their prisons.
I think one way to approach this that would be helpful for us is to ask ourselves the question, what is my body? You know, what is my body? Is my body my hands and my feet? Or is my body something bigger than that? Am I part of a bigger body? And oftentimes the things that concern us most, that define our priorities, is our physical needs, our bank account, everything that surrounds our material well-being of this physical body of mine. But I think what you're asking us to do is to consider what is the body that I'm a part of? And am I hurt? Am I hurting when my pinky out in China is getting stumped on? Am I feeling the pain of this broader body? Mm-hmm. And that begins to redefine the way we think about ourselves. It begins to redefine the way we pray. Am I just praying for my needs right here to be able to have my happy and comfortable life here in America? Or am I praying for the wellness and the health of the broader body, the persecuted body in this case that we're talking about today? So what are we really a part of? Is it just me floating around here as an individual Christian in America, and I just need to make sure I have my personal peace and affluence, or am I part of a bigger body of Christ? Mm. And I sure hope that I am.
Amen. Amen. You know, Danny, 5 years ago, I asked the question, Jesus, how can I serve your body? That's the question I asked. Because you know what? In some senses, we can't just serve Jesus, as in, you know, washing his feet. His real feet, his physical feet, the feet that took the nails. But then, you know, we can help his body. We can help the church body. And it was right about then that I got a hold of Brother Yoon's book, Heavenly Man. Remember that?
I've read it. We read it on our honeymoon.
Beautiful.
Life-changing.
Beautiful, beautiful story. But one of the things that stuck with me out of that was his concern for his family. While he was in prison, the biggest concern of his life was his family. And then I read Richard Wurmbrand's Tortured for Christ. You remember that classic book about Richard Wurmbrand? Same concern. Listen to Richard Wurmbrand. I'm just going to read a small part of Richard Wurmbrand's Tortured for Christ. Here's what he says. The families of jailed Christians in communist countries almost always starve to death. That shake you a little bit? He tells a story. Two daughters of a Christian martyr became prostitutes to support their younger brothers and sick mother. The martyr got out of prison, witnessed the gospel to his children, and was arrested one more time for that crime. And the daughters stopped their prostitution and then became informers against Christians. And then he says that this is what Richard Wurmbrand says. Don't just say it is ugly and immoral. Of course it is. But ask yourself, it is also your sin that such tragedies occur, that such Christian families are left alone, unhelped by you who are free. You know, it's been statements like that from the persecuted church that has woken me up to this reality. And so I am committed to this for the rest of my life, to help the families of persecuted brothers and sisters in prison. We went out to Nepal, you know, this last couple of weeks. And one of the goals that I took with me was to support pastors in prison, because there is a persecution going on in Nepal right now, because Nepal is one of the fastest growing, if not the most fastest growing church in the world right now. And so one of my goal was not to just throw money into some large organization, but to go there personally and find pastors who personally had visited pastors in prison and helped their families. And we were able to do that, Danny. There was one pastor whose wife had died, and two daughters, now in an orphanage. He is in prison, get this, Danny, for 10 years, while his two daughters are languishing in an impoverished orphanage in Nepal. And so I sat down with the pastor and said, okay, the pastor caring for these orphans, okay, directly. And I said, what do they need? What do they need today? What do they need? I've got a pocket full of cash. I came with cash. Now, legally, it's all legal. And I asked, what do they need? He said, well, they don't have fresh water. They need a water tank. I said, how much is that? $300. Okay, write that down. What else do they need? They need a fridge. Okay, $400. Write that down. They need a printer to print out their lessons so they can learn how to read the Word of God. Okay, write that down, $200. How about notebooks? Oh, they need 35 notebooks. Okay, well, write that down. And that was about it. And then I thought to myself, if I was my wife, what would I be thinking? You know how guys are. Guys are thinking about water and fridges. Do they have shoes? You know? And he said, wait, let me call the guy on site right now. And the guy said, oh, seven pairs. We need seven pairs of shoes. Okay, well, write that down. So at the end, you know, I jumped on the motorcycle. We ran down to a bank. We wired the money to the man.
Wait a minute. You drove the motorcycle?
No. The other pastor was riding the motorcycle. I was hanging on for dear life. We went down to the local bank. We transferred the money right there and then. And just a few days ago, I got pictures of all of the stuff to support the orphans of this pastor who is languishing in a Nepalese jail for the next 10 years of his life. But we want to be there for his kids. And that's the point. Now, we found two others as well where we could support pastors in prison real time. And friends, this is what we want to do. We want to do more of this. In fact, when you gave donations to their families, here's what you're saying. You're not just saying, here's money. You're saying, here are people who are caring about you and your family during this time. It's one thing to say, praying for you, brother. It's another thing to go to the work of flying around the world to find these families and support them. It's another thing to go online and find a way in which you can transfer money to these folks. And so, friends, I have found a way to support the families of Early Rain Covenant Church in China. And if people are interested in providing for and visiting those in prison and really caring for the brothers of Jesus, by the way, this issue will be mentioned on Judgment Day. Just heads up. This is something that's near and dear to the heart of Jesus. Why? Because it's his family. And we need to be caring for his family. So if you're interested in helping out with the Early Rain Covenant Church, please email me. Now, getting money to them is not always easy. We need contacts in order to bring it about. And we have contacts to provide resources and financial help for the families at Early Rain Covenant Church. Email me at host@generations.org if you are interested in getting support to the hurting, imprisoned family of Jesus. If you're interested in this, just email me at host@generations.org. That's host@generations.org if you're interested in helping out. Again, that's host@generations.org or host@kevinswanson.com. Any last words?
You know, as we wrap up the program, oftentimes when I hear stories like this, the question that comes to my mind is, would I be ready to follow in Wang Yi's footsteps? Would I be ready for this kind of a challenge in my life? And I think perhaps that's the wrong question to ask, because this is not really a lifestyle, if you can call it that, that you prepare for. This is a lifestyle that you live day by day. This is the daily calling of taking up your cross and following Christ. And I think that's the question that we all need to ask ourselves. Not would I have the courage to do this 5 years from now if this happened in America, but am I today dying to self? Am I today taking up my cross and following Christ? I'm encouraged by what we read in 2 Corinthians 4, where Paul says this: we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And I think we need to ask ourselves, what is life? Is life taking care of my physical body, or is life dying to my flesh? And through my union with Christ, being raised to new life, being filled with his spirit, is that life, and am I living with that kind of a perspective today? Paul ends the chapter with this: for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's fix our eyes on the eternal. Let's look toward the eternal weight of glory.
And the question that I ask myself on a regular basis, Danny, is am I willing to die? Am I willing to die? Not out there in the future sometime, but am I willing to die today?
Yeah.
Am I willing to take up my cross daily, but today? Am I willing to deny myself and take up my cross today and follow Jesus, even if that means suffering with those who are suffering for Jesus, walking into the fire to be with my brothers and sisters in their sufferings? So those are the questions that I ask myself. And sometimes I say, not really. Lord, help me. And sometimes a little more willing to do that. But there is such a freedom about denying self and taking up the cross and following Jesus. It's such a freedom. I've experienced that myself. I love it. And I want to continue in this life, the life of Christ. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.